What does your life say about your inheritance? Discover how living as God's heir transforms both your family and your witness in the public square today. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. I hope you're enjoying these devotions as we dive into God's Word. We've been working pretty slowly through the book of Romans, but we are having a great time. We are in a series called Abraham, and I want to encourage you that if you have not subscribed, liked, commented, or placed in your Washington Defender app in that huddle, to do that today. And to go get the context of Abraham, go back to Genesis chapter 11 and read chapter 11 through 25. So Romans 13, 15, it says, "For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law." So we're going to talk about being an heir be the heir of the world. We're going to talk about that word being an heir. But through righteousness of faith. "For if those who are of the law are heirs," there it is again, "faith is made void and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there is no violation." What does it mean to be an heir? That's what we're going to ask today. What does it mean to be an heir? So let's go to the Old Testament. This is where we see Abraham said, "Oh Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?" And Abraham said, "Since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, "This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, and he shall be your heir." So we see that an heir is someone who comes out of one's body. So my three sons and daughter are my heirs, and we don't think of that that way. And then my son's kids are his heirs. So now behold, the whole family was risen against your maidservant, and they say, "Hand over the one who struck his brother that we may put him to death for the life of his brother whom he killed, and destroy the heir also. Thus they will extinguish the coal which is left, so as to leave my husband neither name nor remnant of the face of the earth." So in 2 Samuel, we see that it was talking about an heir, that they're going to kill all the heirs. Jeremiah 49:1, "Concerning the sons of Ammon, thus saith the Lord God, does Israel have no sons, or has he no heirs? Why then has Malcolm taken possession of Gad and his people settled in its cities?" Micah mentions the word heir as well. "Moreover, I will bring on you the one who takes possession, O inhabitants of Maresha, the glory of Israel will Adalon." These are different areas of where heir is found. In the New Testament, we see this story in Matthew 21:38, Mark 12:7, and Luke 20, verse 14. These are all talking about heirs, about a vine grower, and this is the heir. Let us kill him so they can steal his inheritance. And then in Romans 4:13 that we just read, but also in Romans 8:17, it says, "And if children were heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ." So this is where it gets a little bit more applicational for us. You know, we're just kind of doing a word study throughout Old and New Testament on the word heir, looking at different places that you'd have to go back and look at the context of. But the reality is, in Romans 8:17, if you have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, if you've confessed Jesus as Lord, you have been adopted into God's family, and you are a child of Almighty God. So if you're a child, then you're an heir also. Remember how Abraham said, "I don't have any kids, basically. Nothing's come out of my fruit of my wombs," you might say. So he says that we are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. "And indeed, we suffer with him so that we may be glorified with him." So we need to be willing to pick up the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:29, "And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise." Right there, Galatians 3:29. If you believe in Jesus Christ. So Abraham believed in Jesus Christ. We have to understand that. That was what his faith was in. You're like, well, how? I mean, Jesus wasn't there for thousands of years later. God, foreseeing that he would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. He believed in the resurrection. He knew the Messiah was coming, and he knew the Messiah was going to come from him. He just didn't know how soon or how fast. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. So we see that we are heirs as children of God. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So we're no longer a slave to sin. But we are sons and daughters of God. And we're heirs through God. Galatians 4:30. But what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, and the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So this is talking about Hagar and Sarah. And we see that when Abraham tried to do it in his own way, he produced Ishmael, and he says, hey, cast him out. But the heir is the one of the free woman. Ephesians 3:6, to be specific, that Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. So Paul is being very specific in this part that we are heirs and we're fellow members of the body of Christ and fellow partakers of the promise of Jesus Christ. And so think about this for a moment. We don't, you know, and necessarily as Gentiles, we don't really think of our offspring or our heirs as they're important to us because they're our kids, but we don't think in that linear or that family tree kind of perspective. We really think in areas of like, you know, inheritance and those kind of things. But the fact is that as Gentiles, if we have Jesus as Lord in our heart and we believe that God raised him from the dead, that we become heirs to what God has for us. Titus says it this way, so that being justified by grace, we would be made heirs. So it is by grace that you are justified, and this is that you become an heir according to the hope of eternal life. You become one of God's descendants, one of the inheritance of God. In these last days has spoken to us through his son, whom he appointed heir of all things. So Jesus is an heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Hebrews 1:2. Hebrews 6:17. In the same way, God desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath. So a lot of these, you'd have to go back and read the entire context, but you're getting the idea. We're doing a word study on heir, and it's just a powerful thing to know that God desiring even more to show to the heirs, to us, the promise, the unchangeableness of his purpose. God's never changed his purpose. Think about that for a minute. He interposed with an oath. He made a covenant. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now remember, Noah was before Abraham, and yet he was considered an heir because he believed God. Isn't that powerful? I've always kind of wondered, why did God give so much credit? I guess it's because with Noah, he didn't have a covenant. But, you know, there's so much attention drawn to Abraham. And we see that Abraham had a covenant with God and a promise of land. Noah wasn't given that, but he was considered righteous. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. So again, you have to go back and read the context, but we see that this idea of being an heir is just powerful in our sight. Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? So do you love God? I mean, do you really love God? Do you have affection for him? You want to obey him? You have a relationship with him? Then you're an heir according to the promise. That heir of the kingdom of God. Isn't that powerful? Here we go. 1 Peter 3:7. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. I don't know about you, but that is just powerful. A fellow heir of the grace of life. Are you living in God's grace and in his life today? This is what we see from Abraham, is that he is an heir. He started out the whole thing through faith in Jesus, faith in God, and in God's promises that he would have people, a land, a nation, that he would have a covenant with God. So what's our public square application? Are you interacting as an heir of righteousness today? So let's make that very applicable. If Isaiah is my heir, and Isaiah, my oldest son, goes out and is in the public square, and he's rude, obnoxious as an heir of mine, what are people going to think about me? They're going to think I'm rude and obnoxious. As heirs, we represent our Father, and we need to make that representation in the public square the best that we know how. Does that mean we can't tell the truth? No, we speak truth. We do it in love. Does that mean we can't stand for righteousness? No, we stand for righteousness, and we do it in such a way that brings honor to God. Does that mean that we can't, speak truth to power? No, we are to speak truth to power. So my point is this. Are you interacting on behalf of the Heavenly Father, your Father, as an heir of righteousness? That's a big question for today, isn't it? God can use that mightily today to change your workplace. Because instead of being an heir of the devil, or an heir, a child of the devil, or something like that, or disobedient, or whatever it might be, you can live and move and have your being in the things of God. So let's pray, and then we will go throughout our day. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, and Lord, we do pray that we would be heirs of the kingdom, God. And that is only done through salvation through Jesus Christ. So we confess Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in that you raised him from the dead, and we will be saved. And so, God, we thank you for Abraham, his faith, that you preached the gospel beforehand, that he foresaw the days of Jesus somehow. And so, Lord, I pray that you would let that foreknowledge, that ability to see, fill our minds and our hearts, God. The coming of our Lord to get his church, God, we just thank you that you have placed that promise in our hearts and in our minds. So go before us in all things, God. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your family. Thank you for allowing us to be a child of God, a boy or a man, a girl or a woman of God. God, we're so thankful for your goodness upon us. Help us to represent your name well today. Go before us in all things. Let us speak truth and love, righteousness, holiness. Let us bring glory and honor to you. We thank you for all that you want to do in Jesus' name. Amen. So go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.